Awesome. Good morning, everybody, and happy Christmas as well. And it's great to be with you today, and it's great to have lots of visitors as well today. My name's Tim, and I'm one of the pastors here. I'm just going to share a little message this morning. And we've been going and having a bit of an Advent series through December, and it's actually been based on that storybook. That's from the Jesus Storybook Bible, which is great Bible for kids, and that video. And just those last few lines has kind of been the focus. Is at the start of December, we talked about how Jesus was rich but became poor. He's the prince who became poor. We often want to get more and more and more money, but Jesus, who in a sense is the richest, actually gave it all away and shared it with us. And then we had the carols and talked about Jesus being a mighty God but becoming a helpless baby. And actually God's strength is shown in weakness. We want to be stronger and bigger and powerful, but actually Jesus, who's the most strongest and most powerful, actually becomes a weak, helpless baby. And the last line in that that story and video is that Jesus has not come to be the boss, even though he is a king, but he's come to be a servant. So I just want to look at that today, because Jesus, in a sense, actually kind of breaks the rules and breaks our societal constructs and our hierarchies and our systems. He goes totally against them, because especially in Jesus' day, there was kind of a bit of a system, right, where the person at the highest is in a sense the king. That they have the position of honor. The king has the power, the wealth. He's the one everyone knows. He has freedom, autonomy. Is in this position of being served. And it's in a sense, the king represents this ideal position, the top position. And not everyone can be the king, and not everyone can advance to be a king, but really what's desirable is to be as close to the king as possible, to be up as high as possible, because the higher you are, the more you are served, the more freedom, the more power, the more wealth, the more honor, particularly in an honor-shame culture that Jesus lived in. The desire is to get to the places of honor. And the thing is, though, to get to those places means other people not being in those places. It's getting other people out of the way. And we even see this in Jesus' disciples. It kind of represents their values, that they want places of honor above other people. There's a story that you might know about Jesus' disciples who are seeking places of honor. It says this in Mark 10. About James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. They replied, "Let us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." They come to Jesus and they want to do a secret deal to get to the position of honor, because he's a king, he's going to be at the top, so they want to be next to him. But to do that, they got to get in first and make sure that others are excluded. That's what Jesus is doing. And we also see that in the Christmas story in King Herod, who is a king, and he has the place of honor and power. So when he hears about Jesus, who's a threat to him, he has to neutralize the threat. He has to deal with it to hold on to his position of power and honor, and even seeks to destroy Jesus as a baby. So what often is sort of the norm is to seek the place of honor. But if we can't get to the top place, at least the thing to do is to avoid the bottom place. And because the bottom place, especially in Jesus' day, was really the place of a servant or a slave, is the lowest position. It's weak, it's obscure, it's poor. You serve and you, in effect, do the jobs that nobody else wants to do. You do the shameful jobs, the humiliating jobs. And now, not everyone has to be a servant, not everyone can be a king, but at least the thing to do is avoid being at the bottom. You just don't want to be right at the bottom. And again, we see this in Jesus' disciples. It doesn't say it in the text, but it's implied. There's a time when Jesus' disciples are sitting around, and Jesus is sitting around, and there's no servant there, and there's no one to wash everyone's feet, but none of the disciples volunteer. That no one is going to take that position. Because the thing to do is avoid the low place and seek to be in as highest place as possible to move up. But Jesus, what we celebrate at Christmas and in his life and then also in his death, that he actually just totally breaks the system. Because we have a system which is really about moving up. Move up to the positions of power, of honor, of freedom. Now, in our culture, we don't necessarily want to be king, right? But we want more personal power and freedom and wealth, a better lifestyle. We tend to want life to move up towards success, towards honor. But Jesus has the high place. He's in the ideal position, and he totally breaks the system because from that place, he moves to the low place. The king, the one at the top, deliberately takes the position of a servant, even of a slave. And Jesus it totally redefines what it means to be a king, what it means to have power, and what it means to be great. And again, he says this really clearly in that passage in Mark, talking to his disciples. He says this: "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, lorded over them, their high officials exercise authority over them." He's saying, you know, the Romans, they just bully people. You know, your boss, they just dominate. Or, you know, Herod, he just tries to hold his power. But Jesus says that's not to be like that with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus deliberately says he has come to serve, but he's the one who has the most right to be served. And he's totally redefining what it means to have power and to be great. And in one of his most controversial acts, Jesus takes the initiative in that awkward situation where there's no servant to wash their feet. He takes that low place. It says this in John 13. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he'd come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus just totally breaks the social contract in that day, because that was the low place. That's the position to avoid. Jesus is in the position of honor, but he moves down. He moves in the absolute opposite position to how we normally do. And Alexander McLaren is a Bible commentator on that comments, and he says this: "The highest is to be the lowest. For he who is higher than the highest has shown that such is the law which he obeys. In the world, the higher people are, the more they are served. But in Christ's kingdom, both in its imperfect earthly and its perfect heavenly form, the higher people are, the more they serve." Jesus totally flips it on its head, because he is a king. He's the King of Kings, but he's not a king like Herod. He's not a king like the rulers of the world who dominate others, who protect themselves. He's not even like many of us who may not be kings, but so much of our life is about advancing ourselves or seeking our own interests. He instead is one who serves, who gives his life, and ultimately, you know, will even die to save us. Yet he's still a king. And as we come to Christmas and we see a baby who seems not powerful, or we see Jesus washing the disciples' feet, which is humble, yet he's still a king. He is the true king. So if we're going to respond to Jesus today at Christmas, we recognize that this is not just a nice story, but we're actually talking about the Lord of the universe and what he's like. What we must do if he's a true king is actually submit to him, actually honor him as a king. If he's the true king, we have to submit to his kingdom way, which means actually embracing this downward journey that he takes. Because if he's the king, yet the king is in the lowest place, it means actually to be close to the king is to move down. To move up is, in a sense, to move down and embrace humility and embrace service, embrace love, which sounds really nice, but in reality, may feel humiliating, may feel humbling, may feel weak, but actually it's the way of Jesus. Jesus disrupts our self-advancing ways, the ways of the world, and calls us to follow him in humility and follow him in service, and actually to take whatever ways we're up above others and use that as a way to serve others. Whichever ways we have power or we have wealth or we have influence, we have honor, those are not for ourselves, but actually to then be redefined and used for others. But this is a challenge. Dallas Willard on this comments, he says this, "We misunderstand this passage if we read it merely as instructions on how to become great, when Jesus says the greatest will be your servant. It is rather a statement on how those who are great are to behave. To be great and to live as a servant is one of the most difficult of spiritual attainments. So often we want to be up higher, and then when we are, we become proud. But when we're giving things, when God raises us up, or when we have things, maybe we have more than others, the actual thing to do is to continue to remain humble and even use those for others." Jesus totally flips this around. So if he is a king, we're called to follow him in his kingdom of humility and service. We have a moment, I'm just going to give you a moment to just reflect on what maybe that looks like for you. In what ways are you up, and what does it look like to take that and move down? So just give you a moment, and now or maybe even throughout the day, just to pray and say, "Lord, how are you calling me to serve you and others with the things that you've been given, with the honor that you have, whatever that is, whether it's a lot or whether it's a small amount, to actually use it for others in service?" Just give you a moment just to pray that quietly. Be open to God. So the point is, right, Jesus is a servant, and if he's the king, we're called to follow him as servants. But it's so easy, though, for us to just then get in a role of, well, we're servants, and we're called to serve, and we're called to serve God, and called to serve others. But in some ways, that can still be about us, because we're the servants, and we're serving, and we can so easily focus on what we're going to do and actually not be focused on Jesus. But the thing to focus on in the kingdom is actually the king. And one way, perhaps one of the main ways to actually submit to Jesus as a king is not primarily to serve him, but actually to let him serve us. What we can do is, if he is the true king, is actually submit to being served by him, which may be easier said than done, because again, sometimes it's easier to serve others than actually to let them serve us. Sometimes it feels it's humble to serve others, but sometimes it's even more humbling to let them serve you, especially God himself. We see this in Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and he's breaking their categories because he's the one in the place of honor and he wants to serve them. And they're saying, no, that just doesn't compute. It doesn't work. And Peter actually wants to stop Jesus. He came to Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." But Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Peter says, "No, you can't serve me. You're the king, I serve you." But in Jesus' kingdom, he's the greatest servant. And actually submitting to him actually submits to him serving us, him washing our feet. And this is perhaps one of the main ways to respond to Jesus, which actually involves acknowledging our need. Actually, we need him. We need him to cleanse us, to wash us, to serve us, to help us. It actually puts him in the position of honor in the kingdom, because the greatest one is a servant. He's in control. He is in the greatest position. And it doesn't mean that we treat him like a servant and we're his master, because he's still the master. He's still the king. But as the king, he wants to serve. He wants to wash our feet. He wants to cleanse our sin. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to lift us up. And sometimes we can resist that and say, "No, Lord, no, don't do that." But actually the thing to do is submit to him and say, "Yes, Lord, you are the servant. I receive your service." So if he is the true king, especially at Christmas time, we recognize him coming as a gift for us. We can submit to him by submitting to being served by him. So again, a prayer to pray. I'll just give you a moment just to pray now. It's to pray, Lord, how do you want to serve me? So often we can be focused on how do I serve you, Lord? But actually, his desire is to serve us. So I'll just give you a moment to pray that now. And those are questions that maybe you can sit with today or in the holidays. What does it mean to follow Jesus down as a servant? What does it mean for him to serve and meet us? Because then if that is the focus, that the King of Kings has served us, has washed our feet, has forgiven our sin, has come to be with us, then from that place we say, well, if he's done that for me, I'm going to follow him and do that for others. In that sense, he stays the focus. Because the good news of Christmas is that he's not just a baby, but he's a king, and he's not like the kings of the world. He is a servant king. He is humble, but he is the greatest, and he is the name above all names, and we can submit to his kingdom rule and his humble way. So we're going to respond again in worship and singing these Christmas songs and celebrating Jesus. I'm just going to end with this quote, because this aspect of who Jesus is, particularly we see at Christmas in his coming to earth, is that he is humble. But then his whole life is characterized by humility. Even his death is a greater descent into humility. And then he's raised up as the humble king to rule the world. So if you could stand with me, we'll pray and then we'll sing. I'm just going to read out this quote that characterizes Jesus' humility. What is Jesus' incarnation but his heavenly humility? His emptying himself and becoming a man. What is his life on earth but humility? His taking the form of a servant. What is his atonement but humility? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. What is his ascension and his glory but humility, exalted and throned and crowned with glory? He humbled himself, therefore God exalted him. In heaven, where he was with the Father, in his birth, in his life, in his death, in his sitting on the throne, it is nothing but humility. Christ is the humility of God embodied in human nature, the eternal love humbling itself, clothing itself in the garb of meekness and gentleness to win and serve and save us. As the love and condescension of God makes him the benefactor and helper and servant of all, so Jesus of necessity was the incarnate humility. So he is still in the midst of the throne, the meek and lowly Lamb of God. So we honor you today, Jesus, as the King, as the one with the highest position, the King of all kings, the Lord of the earth, as we've sung already, and recognize that you went to the lowest place, becoming a humble baby, being born in humble circumstances, living a life of service, even doing things that people thought shameful, and ultimately going to the cross, but that you are exalted and are the King of all kings, the Lamb that was slain at the right hand of the Father, and just ask that you give us grace to see how you're serving us today, how you've come for us to rescue us, to cleanse us, and free us, Lord, to go your way of humility, of service, of love, of sacrifice. And we just thank you for your coming kingdom that will be characterized by that generous love for all, unity and peace in Jesus. We just thank you for the hope that we have in you. We just bless your name. Amen.